not disappear?
He hit him high, but what else can he do? He can't disappear.
In slow motion, it looks a little bit bad. But
accidents happen. They do.
He's done it. Well, this is incredible.
Out will come the magic sponge. There it is.
No scissors, no tape. Just a dirty old sponge, and it's worked. The sponge can wipe out a pandemic. It can cure us all.
Welcome back to the Magic Sponge Podcast, the miracle cure for all your rugby league injury issues. My name is Brian Sini. Most of you know me as the guy behind the NRL Physio social media pages. James, my co-host, he's a physio, he's a massive footy nuffy. You're back, and we're going to reveal our teams today, James, which I'm sure is one of the most well-looked-forward to things in the fantasy calendar, Supercoach calendar for many people out there. How are you, mate?
Yeah, going well, Brian. It's really good this week in the lead up to the season. I guess season kicks off Thursday, the 2nd of March, so that's not very far away. And obviously the team lists drop on Tuesday, which always throws up a few interesting conversation topics. So looking forward to it a lot.
Mate, it'll be good. Guys, as always, this is your one-stop shop for all things injury analysis in the NRL. We give our take on in-game injuries, review the big injury and rehab news from those already in the casualty ward. And the big thing is we talk through the implications of injuries on things like recovery time and super coach and fantasy scoring. So if you find yourself getting value out of this content, it's only the tip of the iceberg in terms of the in-depth info we put out there each week. Head over to patreon.com/NRLphysio. You'll get access to the best NRL casualty ward on the internet, which is going up on Wednesday after team lists go down. We get detailed write-ups. I've had write-ups just this week on the ACLs, on Josh Schuster, on Nico Hines, who we'll talk about here. Plenty of info over there. So head on over patreon.com/NRLphysio. But otherwise, the final injury wrap before round one. A few big injuries to talk about, so let's get stuck into it.
I don't know exactly what he's done. I would have thought it was an ankle, but I'm just guessing.
He shouldn't be out for a long period of time. I'm no doctor. We have to wait for the scans, obviously, but that'd be more positive than negative.
Final injury wrap, Brian, before the season proper kicks off. Two people of significant note, which are fantasy relevant and also really relevant for the Sharks and the Manly Seagulls, respectively, is Nico Hines and Josh Schuster. They have calf concerns. What are the prognosis looking like for those two players?
Yeah, mate, I was really keen to talk about these two guys together because they have really similar diagnosis by the sounds of things, so minor to moderate calf strains. But I'm kind of either end of the spectrum when it comes to sort of my expectations and my, I guess, my outlook for both players. So Nico Hines, Josh Schuster, we know that Schuster suffered the calf strain in the final trial last week. It's a bit unclear with Nico. I think he did suffer it in the trial last week because I've had a few people sort of suggest that potentially he was pictured post-game with some ice on his calf, but then there are also some people saying it was at training during the week, so a little bit sort of to and fro. But the big thing, so the first, I guess, component of it is that Schuster has already been ruled out of round one. So there's obviously enough damage or enough sort of functional deficit there for Manly to be like, he's going to require at least a 3-week return to play because he suffered it a week ago. He would need this week and next week. And then potentially, if they were playing in round two, he could potentially return then. But they're saying he definitely won't return in round one. Whereas Nico, on the other hand, even if he did suffer it, you know, at training this week, the Sharks are still adamant that they're giving him every chance to play in round one. So I would actually prefer it if he suffered it in the trial because that would give him extra rehab time, obviously. But either way, that's your first, I guess, big indicator that Nico isn't as worrisome as Schuster, sort of moving forward. The big thing that puts Schuster at a massive concern for me compared to Nico is Schuster's history, not only with calf injuries, but with a few rehab issues sort of into last year. So Schuster, and once again, this was, the crux of the Patreon article, Schuster has had a calf injury in both 2021 and 2022, so the last two seasons. But probably the most important thing to note is that the one in 2021. He suffered a minor calf injury. It was supposed to keep him out for 1 to 2 weeks initially, and he ended up missing 6 weeks. Now, if you listen to me on here and James on here, we often talk about calf injuries as being not really all that concerning for like re-injury risk. So once guys are back, usually they're pretty safe, but it's more the rehab process can be a lot more prolonged than initially expected because those symptoms just tend to linger around. They don't settle down. So Schuster's a, you know, I guess a textbook case of that. And then you take that information and then fast forward to the start of 2022 where he had a syndesmosis injury and had a really, really rough time with rehab where it took a lot longer than expected. He, by all reports, got very deconditioned during that rehab process, and we all saw his performance sort of through last year as a result of that. There's just a lot of, yeah, yellow flags. I wouldn't call them red flags, but a lot of yellow flags there for me in terms of starting. And we're going to talk about our teams. And, you know, spoiler alert, neither of us are starting with Schuster at the moment. There's just too much there for me to start with. In best case scenario, see him round three, but, you know, there's no guarantee of that. Nico, I'm not that concerned with. I think if he's named, I'm starting with him. If he's named and then drops out an hour before, he's an easy switch through to another player sort of later in the weekend who we'll talk about during our team reveals. But, yeah, that's my take on it, James. I assume you'd be relatively similar.
Exactly the same as you, Brian. I couldn't really fault you on any of the points that you made there. I guess we'll talk about Schuster in a bit more detail when we do our team drops about why we've both left him out of our standard rosters to start off with there. So I think to your point about Nico, I agree with you. I think depending on the construct of your team, whether you want to roll with Cleary and him together or roll with him, I wouldn't be majorly concerned from that point of view. So we'll talk about those two gents in a little bit more detail when we talk specifics on our teams. Next players, Brian, to talk about are two ACL injuries. Taylan May from the Panthers and Dean Aramea as well had ACL injuries. They were both contact injuries, these two gents, weren't they?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, it's, you know, contact ACL injuries only make up about 20 to 30% of all the ACL injuries. So to have two in quick succession is quite, yeah, bad luck on both boys' behalf. Look, you know, both of them are going to be out for the season. Unfortunately, they're both wingers, so they rely on that ACL heavy movements quite a bit, that change of direction, jumping, landing, all that kind of stuff. So, look, they'll be back by round one next year, barring anything crazy horrible. You still would expect a real, like, you know, a bit of a slow start, but Taylan May will probably, well, they'll both still be potentially wingers on the end of pretty good back lines, so not a massive concern. I think the big thing to talk about there is you'll hear me get on this podcast probably a lot of times this year and moan and groan about certain tackles, about how illegal they were and how they didn't get charged and blah, blah, blah. I actually didn't have a whole lot of issue with either tackle at the moment. The Taylan May one, the guy, look, he did come in as a third man, but he hit up high and then slid down. Look, it's a result of the modern-day game of the first two guys going high and holding up. I think there's a lot of merit in, you know, somehow rewarding tackles going low. So I think at the moment it was like, while it's not a good result, I think as the game is currently sort of situated, I didn't think that was too bad. And then the Aramai one, I think, yes, it was a hip drop. For all the people out there saying it wasn't a hip drop, it definitely was a hip drop, because what defines a hip drop is hitting at the hip, removing your feet off the ground and then dropping your hips down on the feet of the ball runner. And that's what happened. It just wasn't as purposeful as a lot of the ones that we see. It kind of all happened quickly. You'll hear me talk about mitigating factors with a lot of high tackles. I think there was a lot of mitigating factors there that, you know, that I guess contributed to the tackle going wrong. So I was fine with it being penalised and not, you know, not taken further, a bit like a lot of high tackles that get penalised on the field but then not taken further. Like, it can be a hip drop and not need to be taken further. Not every hip drop is created equal, just like every high tackle is not created equal. So that was probably the main thing I wanted to say about them.
Yeah, I'd agree with your point on Aramea there. It just looked a bit more awkward, didn't it, rather than intentional in that sort of mechanism with hip drop there. And, yeah, bad news for both of those players, Brian, but hopefully they can get stuck into rehab from now and be looking sort of 12 months when they get cracking next year. And I guess Alan May's probably, you know, he might be relatively short of his spot there. Dean Aramea, I don't know what the contract status is with him and whether he'll be there with the Storm again next year or not. But hopefully for those guys, it's not long-term impactful on their careers. Next player in question, Brian, this is a bit of an unusual one, but Tui Kamakamitha, he had a foot tendon injury. Did you want to give us a little bit of a rundown of the details of that?
Mate, I've been doing this since like 2017, tracking these injuries, and I reckon I've seen like one or two foot tendon injuries, and we've seen like two in the last 4 weeks with Kamakamitha and the guy from the Rabbitohs plays off the bench. What's his name? The reserve hooker guy. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Come to me. But
Havili, yes, Havili,
yeah,
against
that's
Steve
it.
Havili.
Yep, that's
and he's a podiatrist as well. Actually, seeing that was the ironic thing about that.
Yeah, I know. Like, this is the thing is that I just couldn't believe it. I was like, you know, foot tendon injuries, you just don't see them all that often.
Very true.
And now we've had 2 in 4 weeks, so they tend to be quite lengthy actually. And like you hear me talk about sort of lateral ankle sprains, and I'm not saying that's what it is because we don't know, but lateral ankle sprains pretty commonly as being not that big a deal. They do become a bit bigger of a deal if there's tendon involvement. It's probably when it's just purely ligament, you don't tend to worry about it too much. So just to show that sort of tendon injuries in the foot are often pretty nasty and require sort of a bit longer recovery. So he'll be out for about 6 weeks. They haven't sort of said exactly which tendon it is in the foot, but about that 6 weeks. So make some guys who we'll talk about later even better buys.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to sort of speculate, wouldn't it? I would probably put my money on a perineal sort of tendon concern there, or potentially, like, you know, base of fifth, Mets hustle, like avulsion sort of type thing is probably one of the more common ones. But it'd be really interesting to find out more detail about those guys, wouldn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. The very last one to talk through injury-wise, Brian, is Paul Momorowski. He's had prolonged concussion symptoms. And I guess with his situation at the Roosters there and his position, I guess it's messy for fantasy implications for the Roosters' right wing position. So I've been one who's talked up Jackson Paulo for that spot, and I think Dom Young is now having a look at Dom Young from the Knights under the salary sombrero there at Bondi. So who knows what's happening with that position and that spot. It's a bit of an up-in-the-air situation. From Momorowski's perspective with his concussion symptoms, what's the update there that you've got to share for the listeners?
Yeah, mate, all I can sort of offer here is that, look, this is once again an example of why concussions kind of, I guess, concern me the most out of any, you know, injury that we're trying to analyse, is just because of the unpredictability. Like, they're, by all accounts, I haven't looked back through, but I can't remember in my mind of Momorowski having issues in the past with prolonged concussion symptoms, but they can just strike out of nowhere. So there's no way to tell when he will be fit to return. I'd say even for those prolonged concussion symptom guys, most are back within like that 6 to 8 week kind of range, but you really don't know. So yeah, just wish him all the best. Hopefully it settles down soon, but yeah, it just shows you the nasty nature of concussions.
Yeah, nice summary there, Brian. I think there was one other person from the Roosters, which we haven't sort of listed here, but that was about Angus Crichton, because I heard in the media it's been reported that he's having some time away from the game to sort of manage a diagnosis of bipolar from a mental health point of view. And I guess for those who aren't overly familiar with bipolar, I guess it used to be called in the bad old days manic depression, and it's sort of a mental health concern that's sort of characterized by like really extreme swings of emotional highs, which is almost like a mania or like hypermania, or then, you know, big swings of lows with significant depression or suicidal thoughts and ideation. So I guess for people that are thinking about Angus Crichton in their standard startups, or they're looking at drafts sometime soon, I guess the it's a very unclear situation there about what his management's going to be, but I don't think it'd be really it's going to be nearly impossible to put a time frame on that, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. If concussions sort of give me pause when I'm trying to predict things, then things like bipolar or mental health are another level again, because you just don't know. Every case is different. So I guess similar once again, I just, you know, thoughts go out to Angus. It's how good is it that, you know, like these kind of things are now getting diagnosed. So that was probably my big thing, is for his old man to come out and give it a name, give it a diagnosis. It just kind of cuts through, I think, the possibility of some talking heads sort of coming out and being like, you know, oh, he's just being soft, and and blah, 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 like to actually come out and be like, this is what he's being diagnosed with. He's in good hands. Like just treating it, you know, like it is a legitimate, you know, issue. I think it's a wonderful thing to see, even though it's a horrible thing to happen. I really like seeing, stuff like that being treated in that way.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I think, you know, it's not an uncommon thing. It's sort of between 2 or 3% of the population. So there'd be, you know, people that you may know in your extended networks or, you know, through school or sport or work environments and things like that that may be sort of going through that you may not even be aware of. And I guess like the big part of that is the psychological therapy that they go through, and then also a lot of times the mood stabilizing medications as well. And that can be a really difficult thing to get on top of depending on the person, because with all those psychotropic medications, like everyone's, you know, their response to that's so different. So yeah, I agree with you. I think good luck to Angus. Hope he's back on the field sooner rather than later. I guess from a draft point of view, I would say, Brian, I'd be pretty keen to snap him up. I don't think this would be something I'd sort of peg on lasting a huge amount of time. I think he'd probably kind of have some pretty good supports around him there. And if it's something he's had going on for a while, I'm assuming that he should have some things in place there reasonably quickly that'll help him get back on the field. But we'll watch and wait in that space. Hey, mate.
Yeah, mate, absolutely. I think he dropped a little bit in the Magic Sponge Invitational, the best draft comp going around. I think he dropped to about round 4 or 5. The guys who are in that comp might correct me there. But I think the reason it probably dropped at that point was we didn't even know what we hadn't sort of, we were drafting before there was any kind of confirmation about what was going on or anything like that. It was just, I mean, there was one report he was going to be out for most of the season potentially. So, if I was drafting like today or tomorrow or something like that, it's not something that I'd bake in significantly to that. Once again, I'm a guy who likes to draft for finals anyway.
Yeah, good shout there, Brian. So that's a wrap of the injuries there. So we can go straight into the Supercoach team reveal. So these are our standard format teams that we're going to reveal tonight. This is obviously preceding Team List Tuesday that's going to drop earlier next week. So there will be some changes in the background of that. But this is sort of the working sort of final draft, I suppose you could say, until Tuesday rolls around. Who have you started up with hooker there, Brian, in your team?
Yeah, mate, I've gone with Cheese and Tanner Boyd. Tanner Boyd I actually feel really good about. I'm quite excited about him purely from the fact that, I've been this is probably a little bit of a heart pick, but, you know, being from Brisbane and stuff like that, followed him all the way through. And I was always quite a bit disappointed that he didn't get a shot at halfback sort of when he went down there. They mostly played him as a hooker and stuff like that. Sort of watching him through the grades and come up as a younger fella, he was always just so good, I thought. So to see him sort of come out late last year when he finally got the starting half position and perform really, really well, score really well from a Supercoach standpoint, he's got the goal kicking, he's playing inside Dave Fifita. I really like that. To be honest with you, and this might be a bit controversial, Cheese, it's probably one of the places in my side that I feel least, like, he's cheap and I get that, but yeah, my memory of Cheese a lot of the time when he's relied to play big minutes is he's out on his ass. Like, you know, he just goes so hard, like he just doesn't have that off button, but it just seems to like knock him up a little bit. So I just wonder whether he's going to be more like a 50 to 55 minute than a 60 to 65 minute player potentially. I've still got him because I think A, like, you know, as I said, he's really cheap, and B, so many people have him that I think if you don't have him, you might, you might lose a little bit if he does go okay. But that's probably one where if I am able to wrangle some cash somewhere else in my side, I would love to go from Cheese to Harry Grant potentially, who, I think you've picked in your hooker position, yeah?
Yeah, I just didn't overthink this. Harry Grant's averaged 70 for the last 3 years. I just don't see him being ever bad. He's a lock and load in my team nearly every time I select at the moment. And I've gone Cheese on the bench for the same reasons you mentioned there, Brian. I think he's priced in reasonably cheaply. You know, he's going to be in a pretty strong Roosters team. I'm not too concerned about it, even if he doesn't see 80 minutes, because there's not a whole lot of mid-range options there at the hooker position that I can sort of see. I do like your point about Tanner Boyd there. I thought the Titans in their trials, the attack looked immensely better. Now they're getting better serves out of 9.
Like, and they played a really, really tough team in that second week, if you remember right. one of the premiership heavyweights. Yeah, so, that's right. You know, to perform well. But no, sorry, I didn't want to cut in on your point. I just wanted to, you know, make that clear.
Yeah, I know. We're going to pump up the Dolphins whenever we can. But I think just the attack looked a lot crisper that I could see, because so many times last year, just the service from Nine was absolutely disastrous. But it just seemed like it all clicked a lot more. I'm really excited to see what the Titans can produce this year. I think they're going to be a bit undervalued from a fantasy point of view, but we'll see how that shapes out. So, yeah, Harry Grant and the Cheezel for me up in hooking position. So front row forward next. Who have you got there, Brian?
Mate, this is where my injury picks start coming in. So I've got three big ones here. So Reuben Cotter has been in my team since the very first day that Supercoach opened, I think. He is just an absolute weapon. His average dropped last year as he was being eased back from that, from the hamstring injury, which, you know, is to be expected. I think he's only going to go bigger and better again this year. That was kind of his breakout year last year, and you could argue, you know, get him to prove it. But I think he's just at that point where his career is starting to take off. I even saw an interview today where he's commenting that he wants to become an 80-minute lock, and there was, you know, lead in the pencil well and truly hearing that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, look, you know, he went 80 in Origin, as we waxed lyrical about last year, just an absolute monster. So for me, I'm just at a discounted price, I could not go past him. I made a change deeper in my team and freed up a whole lot of cash, which we'll talk about in a second. And I had a few choices, but I've gone with Joe Tappanay. For those who have the injury profiles, I'm big on Tappanay at a discount because of some rib cartilage issues that he dealt with last year, sort of bringing his price down. That is a bit of a to and fro one, because another guy who I'd love to have, or there's two guys that I'm tossing up with at second row, is Dave Fifita or even Cam Murray. I like the look of both of those guys as well. So Tappanay is probably the one who could float to somebody else. I think Utokamanu. I think, you know, I tipped him, I think, last year to elevate to a top five front row forward in Supercoach. Didn't happen with injuries and all that kind of stuff, but I just think he's got the talent, he's got the motor. If he can stay injury free, and there's nothing from last year that's really bothering me, I'm really, really hopeful. The only thing against him is that their middle forwards are just stacked, so whether he can wrangle out the minutes or not, and then Davi Mwale on the bench, which, yeah, just a placeholder and see how it goes. What about you, mate? You've got a Dolphins favourite in there, I see.
Yeah, Dolphins leading the charge for me at the front row position. I've gotten Tommy Gilbert. I think the minutes will be there for him in probably that 13 sort of capacity there. All reports are that he's sort of leading the charge there with you know, aiming up at training and putting in the hard work efforts. I think he'll be a bit of a workhorse there for the Dolphins, leading the way. I've also got Christian Welsh on the background there. He's returned from Achilles injury last year. So I think there's minutes at the Storm that'll open up to his Kama Kamitha. Obviously, he's injured. You've seen the Bromwich boys move on. I think he's pretty set in his minutes that he'll probably get there. Loves an offload. I think Christian Welsh at his price point at 460 is pretty good value there. Reuben Cotter, I take your point about someone you need to get in. So I've got to find a way of getting him in, but I just couldn't try. I couldn't quite make the dollars work. So I think that might be a bit of an oversight. I think I'm just going to have to get him in regardless. But the two bench spots, I agree with you, were Steph Utukumanu. He's in mine. I've also picked Sean Kepi on the bench at 270 grand. I think there looks like to be minutes in the Manly sort of front row rotation there. And at that price point, I just wonder if he'll see a bit of an uptick in minutes this year with Marty Tapau moving on there. So that was my sort of logic and rationale, the front row forward spot. What do you reckon about Christian Welsh, Brian, coming back? Any concerns?
Mate, I'm glad you threw it back to me, because he was someone who I wanted to mention as the number one guy who has been the hardest leave out for me from an injury perspective, because I think that he is absolutely going to return on investment. I think anybody who's shying away from him because they think, oh, he's coming off an Achilles and stuff like that, just turn back around and go and pick him in your team. I just think the opportunities are just opening wide up for him there, because, you know, now you've got the Bromwich brothers gone, you've got Kafusi gone. I know they're edge players, but it's leaders as well that have gone. So, and then you've got Kamika Kamika Mitha, who is also out now as well. Like, I just think Welsh is such a good buy. So even though I'm high on Tappanay, like, potentially I might sort of dance around with Tappanay down to Welsh, and then what does that let me do elsewhere? I think that would be quite attractive because, yeah, I think Welsh is going to be, yeah, really, really good. So I love that pick.
Good one, Brian. We'll move on to second row. Who's leading the charge at second row position for you?
Mate, I feel like I've gone into full Queensland mode, which I'm sure you won't ever, you know, begrudge
don't mind
me
it.
Of. Yeah.
Yeah,
but
don't mind it.
Like, I think this guy is the next elite forward. Like, if Cotter's not it, then this guy will be, and that's Paddy Carrigan. I just think that the performance that we saw from him coming off an ACL last year and then growing into more of a leadership role at the Bronx, you know, he did really, really well in Origin last year. And the other thing is he dealt with injuries last year too. Like, he had a grade 2 MCL that he had to work back from. Like, he had, like, all these little, you know, things pop up. And yet he still averaged, I think it was like mid-60s. Like, I just think he is ready to roll. I think I read in the Daily Telly he scored like 65 in Supercoach in the trial the other day. And I'm like, man, that's in a trial. I just think he's going to go to another level this year. I think, yeah, if I'm picking anyone, I'm going to pick the guy who had the best return from an ACL I've ever seen.
Yeah, love that.
So, yeah, I'm He's a bit of my heart pick and kind of my, apart from Adam Dewey, he's probably my biggest, like, I think he's going to be really, really good from an injury standpoint. The other one's Teague Wilton. Once again, that's probably the one where I'm like, if I go Tappanay down to Welsh and then Wilton to someone else, because there's just a lot, and I think we'll talk about a lot of them because you've got a few of them in your second row. There's a lot of those mid-rangers that I just don't know who's going to be good, and I'm finding it really, really hard to figure out between those. Wilton, obviously, the concern is Wade Graham on the bench, but I'm like, man, if Fitzy has any brains and he watches, you know, T. Wilton play, like, he is just an absolute weapon. So hopefully,
yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
And I think out of all of those mid rangers, Wilton probably has the highest upside, which is why I've got him there at the moment in a good Sharky side. If he gets 80 on that left edge, like, oh my god, all over him. Yeah, look, Hopgood, you don't need me to talk too much about him. I just think he's going to be a weapon. I would not be surprised to see him average like 60-65. Just, yeah, I like, you know, a good wide bay boy, mate. Like, what more could you ask for, really? On the bench, Trent Loiero, I think sneakily, like, I like the Eli Katoa, you know, pick as well, but I think Loiero has been there longer. I think he's more guaranteed from what I can kind of gut feel slash hear. He's probably more guaranteed of an 80-minute role. I think Katoa's probably got more upside. But, yeah, I just because I'm going a bit risky with Wilton, I don't mind going a bit of a safer guy in Loiero, a bit more base. And then Matt Dorey, I'm not concerned about his ankle. Pretty happy to start with him, especially with Sean Lane out with the jaw fracture. And then Siwa Wong or Jacob Preston, I think, whoever gets a starting spot, or potentially both if they both are in the team. What about you, mate? I think it's good to see some variability. You've gone a little bit different. Hit me with yours.
Yeah. Just before I get to mine, Ryan, I will say about Paddy Carrigan in the 13 for the Broncos. Has there ever been a situation that makes you feel more safe than having a Broncos wearing 13 in your fantasy team? Oh, from all those old timers who are familiar with Corey Parker being the god of Supercoach fantasy, seeing Carrigan in the 13 for the Broncos pumping out big scores, it just is a feel good situation, isn't it? I think that's got to be said.
Mate, I just wouldn't be surprised to see him average like 75. I just, like, I, in my head, I'm just like, you know, and I know Payne Haas has been the guy in the past, but I don't know. I feel like Carrigan can go even better than he did last year.
Yeah, it's a really nice point. Into my team, Brian, I've gone on the rebound, David Fifita. I think he can have a better year this year. I think the Titans look slick in the trials. You know, you're relying on attacking upside there with David Fifita, but that's the type of player he is. He can give you that week in, week out. I've gone both of the Melbourne Storm edgeback rows there. I've picked Eli Katoa and Loiero in that sort of mid-range. Obviously, Hopgood as well. The two other ones in my sort of second row spot, I'm going to sort of start with near Corey at this position from the Warriors. I just am sneaky suspicious he gets the right edge spot and sees 80 minutes. I think what he showed at the Eels, very solid defensively, runs the right lines, hard worker. He signed a 3-year deal over there. They obviously want him in the building there. So I just feel like he might get the inside running to an 80-minute spot. So let's start off with him because he's in about 410 in that sort of price range. So I just feel like that's pretty good value for him, especially if he's running short balls underneath Sean Johnson. I'm just going to be right around that and signing up for that every Saturday night when that's on TV, whether it's free.
Can we just mention the Daily Telly rating the Warriors as the least exciting team to watch? Excuse me?
Yeah, they didn't watch a lot of footy last year. They think the Warriors are the least exciting. My goodness.
Oh, Sean Johnson on a Saturday afternoon. I know he's not what he used to be, but come on.
Yeah, there's still glimpses there. There's still the magic there. And then, like you said, Jacob Preston on the bench. So my sort of setup of my team there, Brian, I think in the second row, you've got a few mid guys there. Like I think Teague Wilton, Luke Garner, you know, you could make an argument for probably Josh Schuster in there as well. I think they're all reasonably attractive players. So it'll be interesting to see when teams get listed what that sort of looks like there. So I might, you know, look at Qatar or Loiero. I think the interesting thing about the Melbourne Storm is whether Asafa Solomona plays a bit of time on the edge there or not, and which edge he plays on. He played on the right edge last year, which I think
was
Katoa played in the trials, I think. So that might be a little bit of a hit to his value, but I think Katoa was so underutilised at the Warriors, and he had a little bit of a bad run with injury there just through no fault of his own with, I think, you know, facial fracture or jaw fracture and a few other things pop up. I just really believe in the talent with him, so I want him in my team is the way I've sort of started that initial draft off for our Supercoach team. Halfback, who have you got there at halfback, Brian? We'll move on to the next spot.
Yeah, mate, Cleary, easy lock. We don't have to talk about why Cleary's a pick. That's pretty clear. I have gone with Nico. I just think his upside, like he looked really good in the All-Stars. He looked really good in the trial. They were probably the things that I'm like, if he came out in those and had stinkers, then I know they're only trial games, but he just looks so good. The calf gives me a bit of pause, and I think, thankfully, he plays before, so he plays on the Saturday, and the halfback that you've got in your second spot plays on the Sunday against a extremely weak side, so could go massive. So my kind of plan at the moment is I've got Hines, I've got the freedom of, like, obviously getting rid of him if he's not named on Tuesday. Even if he is named on Tuesday and it goes through till Saturday and he's out an hour before, I can easily pivot to Sam Walker on the Sunday, and that'll give me some cash to sort of upgrade somewhere else in my team, potentially like a Teague Wilton. You know, he's a Shark, obviously, so I could potentially upgrade him with the cash that I have there. So, yeah, mate, talk me through Sammy Walker. Like, he's obviously got a big first week, but I'm sure you like him regardless anyway for the start of the season.
Yeah, I'm looking at him all season long, Brian. I think he was really good last year. We've talked about him on previous podcast episodes. I feel like the upside for him to average over 70 is definitely there. And the reason I like him in my team is he makes up one of my reserves as well. And I feel like the upside that I get out of him at that spot, I don't think too many other players have. His first few games are pretty good as well. He gets the Dolphins straight off the bat. He should score 200 in that game, I would say, conservatively. Then they back up with the Warriors, Rabbitohs, bye. And then they go to Eels, Storm, Sharks, Dragons, Warriors, Cows to round 10. So it's not exactly a murderous run to sort of start the season off there. So I'm pretty happy to lock and load Sam Walker for the whole season. I think he's going to be very, very, very good. Someone that I'm extremely high on that I just, regardless of who else is in that position that might make me sort of cash cow money, I want Sam Walker in there because I think his upside is just immense. So that's why I've chosen him. 5-8 position, who have you got there, Brian? Probably a favourite of the Magic Buns podcast, I believe.
Oh, mate. Adam Dewey. Yeah, I mean, once again, I don't need to talk too much about him. I just reckon he's going to be huge. I picked him at 12 in the Magic Sponge Invitational, and I would have picked him earlier. I'll go really, really hot, and I just think he really has an opportunity to go into that, like, top 6 to 7 picks for next season if he you know, reaches his potential. And I don't think there's a lot of guys you can say that about. I think Matty Burton's probably another one. But I just think Dewey has that history. He's averaged over 80 in healthy games in a season already in his career just 2 years ago, and then averaged over 70 in full games, you know, that he played last year in his first year back off an ACL. So, and I think the Tigers are going to be improved. It sounds like they're really, really dialing up the attacking stuff in the, you know, in training and all that kind of stuff, really focusing on attack. So I love to hear that. And on top of all that, I know it's just a trial, but, oh, mate, he looks so good in that trial. So, yeah, he was the lock and load for me. And then this one, look, Schuster getting ruled out, I've been pretty adamant that I didn't want to start with him. And this made it a lot easier with Katoa, Isaiah Katoa being, you know, the reports that he's going to start in round one. Look, this is one where, yes, he's basement price. You know, it's hard to go away from that. But my biggest thing is, look, he does have job security issues. The Dolphins are more than likely not going to win many games early in the season, and probably your first scapegoat is going to be the 18-year-old halfback or 5'8". But there's no way I couldn't pick him. A bit of a heart pick. Like, he's not a bad pick anyway. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people to pick him, but that just locked and loaded for me. I just think he's a gun. I'm happy to start with him. That's what sort of allowed me going from Burton to Katoa has allowed me to do a lot of stuff elsewhere, which I was pretty happy with. But it's something that I might revisit. I just, like, and we'll talk about him in a second. You've gone with Burton, and I guess I'll throw it over to you. Did you see any of that trial? Because that was what kind of really, I know it's just a trial, but it worried me a bit about Burton, how that left edge of the Bulldogs sort of looked against the Sharkies.
I didn't catch it, but I did hear feedback about that, Brian. I think, like, the Sharks are a pretty settled team, and the Dogs are sort of figuring out a few combinations there. I think there'll be points enough there. And I think at the end of the day, when you think about Matt Burton and the ceiling that he has, and you've heard the plaudits on his way through the grades, like, he's been talked up as one of the best juniors ever out of that Penrith catchment, which is a nursery for a whole lot of worldly talent. So I am just banking on him and the talent out of that Penrith system. He was one that they desperately didn't want to lose, but I guess with Luai and Cleary playing so much footy together, that probably made the decision for them. So I just think you're betting on the talent there with Matt Burton. It's, you know, he's got all the skills. He's got the goal-kicking boots. I think the Bulldogs will be a lot better. They've got, like, not an insanely difficult draw, and I don't think he has a bye until the round 13 either. So he's one that I think when you look at his start of season, so we've got Manly, Storm, West Tigers, Warriors, Cowboys. They're at home for that, the Dogs, then they've got Bunnies, Eels, Sharks, Dragons, Raiders, Warriors, Titans before their bye. So it's not insanely difficult from first read there with their strength of schedule. So I quite like Burton in that position. He might disappoint, and I can sort of accept that, but because he is young. But I think the Dogs will be better. You got to bet on the talent there in that system, in that scenario. I think there's better judges of talent than me that have seen him coming through the grades and talked him up as being, you know, comparable or better than Cleary at the same age and same stage. And a lot changes between, you know, the junior reps and the NRL, obviously. But he just looks the real deal. Every spot he plays, he's a natural footballer. I just can't really leave him out of my team at his price point, to be honest, Brian. I think he had a few low scores there on the back end of last year when he was a little bit nicked up and a bit injured. So he's in my team. I want to roll with him. I've rolled with him in the Magic Sponge Invitational as well. There was probably a bit alcohol-induced there. I was in a bit of a haze when I made that selection, but I'm okay with it. I'm going to roll with it.
He's another one, I reckon. He could, like, by this time next year, we could be talking about him as a bona fide top 6 or 7 pick. So I don't think...
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So I think that's the reason for him. So we'll move to the centre wing there, Brian. You've got a few big guns to lead off your centre wing charge.
Yeah, mate. It's definitely a position that I usually go like the cheapo options, but I just wanted to chase a little bit of upside in some good teams to start the season, just sort of see how my side sort of balanced out, and I actually don't mind it. So I've gone with Val and To'o are the two that I've gone with. Val, I just think the Cows have a red hot start. And I'm pretty sure, I don't quote me on the exact number, but it's something ridiculous, like they play 7 of the first 8 games in Queensland or something ridiculous like that. Like they don't have to leave Queensland all that often to start with. So I'm really about Val to start the season. I think get him in there and hopefully he puts up a couple of tons. I didn't own him late last year when I was making a charge towards the top and he really cost me. So there might be a bit of PTSD there. And then To'o, I was kind of dancing around with To'o before the ACL to May. But yeah, since that's happened and there's been sort of word that he might go back to the left, I reckon he's a really good pick. I like that a lot. I was really close and I still am really close to going Dan Tupou at that spot of To'o purely because I think he could score 5 tries against the Dolphins in round 1 on the left edge. Like the way that left edge defended in the trial,
yeah, once again,
I've said it a million times, I know it's just a trial, but I reckon there's a really red hot chance and I'm going to the game with my daughter and I'm like, I'm already going to be up against it with her wanting to leave after like 10 minutes. So I'm like, if I have to sit there and watch James Tedesco feed 5 tries to Dan Tupou and I don't own both of them, that's probably going to be a hard afternoon for me. So I'm really tempted to go Tupou there. So that's a little wait and see. And then just a whole bunch of placeholders. Taruva, Warbrick, I think, locked into wing spots. I like the Warbrick pick. He's basement price, but I think with our thoughts on Pappenhausen, I think he's going to be there a while. And there's been a bit of mystery around Jennings, stuff they're saying like, oh, he's got a medical illness and he'll be out till round 4. I'm not really sure what that is. You know, is it an infection post, like, you know, is it a surgical thing? Is it nothing to do with his knee? I'm not really sure. So I'm happy to sort of take Warbrick on the assumption that medical conditions are a bit more unpredictable than orthopedic, you know, muscular kind of things. And then on the bench, Hayes Dunster, Alamotti and Khan Pereira. I think Alamotti and Khan Pereira picked themselves. Hayes Dunster is more just a placeholder, but even if he is picked, I don't shy away from him, even though he's coming off that significant knee injury, just purely because I think I've spoken about it a bit in the past. Like, I'm picking him as the Eels right winger. Like, if any Eels right winger was 234K, I would pick them because I think there's enough tries in an Eels right winger to still score better than 234K. So, yeah, anyone who sees Dunster and goes, oh, he had a significant knee injury, I think he's still a good pick because of the position he plays. And you've gone definitely a more traditional Brian route, and I'm sure it's a James route as well.
Yeah, gone Skint at centre wing just because of them. I guess Matt Burton sort of tips me over there at 5'8", and Harry Grant up front in hooking. So at center wing, I've sort of gone really, really, really low to mid. So I guess my starting four is probably going to look like Hayes Perham-Chans, Nickel Clock Star, the Warriors there. Remus Smith, I think he's priced in reasonably well. He was really unlucky before he had the double pec injury. Just didn't get across the white stripe. So I think he's sort of due for a turnaround there. Taruva's obviously going to start. Then on the bench, probably Tyrell Sloan. I just believe in the talent there with Tyrell Sloan getting the fullback for the Dragons. They're going to have a tough year, but I think he just needs to, you know, get a couple of good weeks and he's going to make some decent money. Obviously, like you said, Khan Pereira and Warbrick on the bench. So they're probably what I'm sort of going to go with. So I don't think I've got the cashola in the bank to look at like a Val or a To'o because I think they're probably the two that you'd want up front. One that's interesting to me is Katoni Staggs. I say this is a Broncos homer, Brian, which I know you'll appreciate, but the Broncos don't have a bye till round 16. So if you're really trying to squeeze a Bronco into your team that may not play Origin, Katoni's probably the one, isn't he? I would say who's sort of reasonably fantasy relevant. But yeah, just seeing them not having a bye till that late in the season, that could be quite helpful. Just with the way that the season's set up as it is, hey?
Yeah, mate, I think I like him as a pick. I think he really faded away in the back end of last year after suffering that shoulder injury. I think him Probably him and the two mid-rangers I like the most are him and Talakai, although he's not really a mid-ranger. He's still pretty expensive. But I just think both of those guys suffered injuries in the Origin Series last year and then really suffered for it at the back end of the year. So I think they're both pretty solid buys in two. Well, I think the Sharks are obviously going to be just solid, but hopefully, well, with Kevy at the helm, you never know. But hopefully the Broncos are a little bit better in that attacking range. And if Staggs is healthy, I think he can only go up.
Yeah, good call. The only other one I was worried about was Khan Pereira. I think he sort of does pick himself to start with, but we need to keep in mind that Brian Kelly's got a 2-week suspension, so he could be back week three, which may well squeeze him out. I think that's just one to sort of keep in the back of their minds when team lists do come out, because I would see a scenario where Phil Sammy goes from left centre to left wing when Kelly comes back. So he might be one that I maybe start with or maybe not. I think you sort of have to until otherwise proven, but he might be an awkward sort of squeeze at round three. Just to sort of keep that in the back of your mind, to see what happens there. Fullbacks, Brian, these probably pick themselves, don't they? There's sort of a few big options here to go to if you've gone with the Teddy Turbo combo, obviously.
Yeah, mate, I think probably the thing to mention here is I've voiced in the injury profiles and on this show sort of about my hesitations around Teddy with the concussions and the knee and that kind of stuff. I'll go on record as saying that, Teddy's not a bad pick. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, I think I saw the Weekly Rubdown boys said that Teddy's the only guy who's been in the top five averaging Supercoach players for the last 5 years. So, like, he, you know, he's as safe as houses when it comes to that. I think there are a few little injury risks there to take into consideration. But to my point before, there's no fucking way I'm sitting at Suncorp next Sunday and Teddy scores 250. And I've got to deal with that not being in my side. Like, I just can't do it, James. I cannot.
Yeah.
I couldn't sit through it. So I need Teddy in my team and captained. And look, if the Dolphins do better than expected and Teddy does crap, like, great. The worst thing that will happen is the Dolphins get rolled and, like, Sam Walker and Luke Keary do it all and Teddy has nothing. And then I'll, that'd be... But I'm at least, you know, like, minimising my chances of being, like, of crying myself to sleep on next Sunday.
Very true.
On this podcast. I'll get on this podcast and hopefully I'm not, like, weeping into the microphone. So, yeah. And Turbo, mate, like, you know, how much more? Now, we're going to talk about it right now, and I hope the guys in the Magic Spa Invitational are listening, but can we address how Tom Trbojevic dropped to number 7 in our draft, like in the Sponge draft, mate? The draft where on this podcast we could not be more turbo homers. Like, we talk about how good a pick he is in both classic and draft. We love him. I think I've said pick 3 is where I'd take him. He drops to pick 7, mate. Like, what's doing?
Yeah, as the bloke who had pick 10 in that line, I pretty much threw up in my Long Island iced tea when I saw Turbo went 7 and what I had to pick at 10. It's just such a big drop off. It's like,
man,
it's just a cliff. It's like the Grand Canyon that goes from pick 7 with Turbo to, you know, Burton at 10. I just felt like, oh man, I would have sold one of my kidneys to get Turbo at pick 7 rather than getting Matty Burton at pick 10. I think that's got to be said. So, yeah, they didn't obviously take the advice that we were heeding about Tom Trbojevic in draft sort of formats going, you know, top five at worst, huh?
Oh, 100%, mate. But, you've gone Latrell, which I think, look, if I didn't have Teddy going up against the Dolphins, I would be going Latrell as well. I think he's a rock-solid pick, hey?
Yeah, I think it's hard because you look at their draw, and their draw is tough, the Bunnies, straight up, so they get Sharks, Panthers, Roosters, Manly, Storm, Bulldogs, and then they get a cakewalk against the Dolphins in round 7. So the first 6 weeks is a bit tough. I just feel like Latrell's matchup proof, and I think the Bunnies at full strength, there's still points in them. I think Latrell's are someone I'm going to have in my team all year long. I just don't really want to not be there, but I think your point that you make about Tedesco with their first few games, he could really, really, really go huge, and that could be really not advantageous to have him. You're needing to find a way to get him in as such. But, Latrell's a tricky one because I think their draw sort of does get better sort of after Origin sort of over. So I think he might be one that you sort of look at more for the run home. But they do have that round 26 buy as well. So he's probably not someone I'm going to take all the way through this season. But I just really want Latrell in my team. I just find him just watchable. And any game the Bunnies are in, I want to have him in my team because he's just got points in him at any stage of the game from any place on the field. Got the goal-kicking boots as well. It just increases his floor ever so slightly. So even though it's a tough draw, I think those early season games don't worry me as much because they're not that sort of slippery, grindy footy as much. It's going to be probably a bit of dry weather footy there even in the ninth game. So I think I'm happy just to roll him as matchup proof, to be honest, Brian, and just go through my team that way. So who are your foil reserves going to be when it's all said and done? That's probably a good way just to give people an idea of how your team's going to shape up with the reserves in place.
Yeah, so Turbo a lock and Nico Hines a lock. So my second fullback and second halfback will be an easy one. Stefano, I did have him up until a few days ago really as my second starting front row forward, so I don't mind him as a reserve either. And then Tanner Boyd, I think, the Steph and Boyd sort of, you know, second two reserves probably aren't as strong, and especially if we look at your reserves, like, I'm definitely down there. But I just think across the board, I like my starting guys, I don't have too many weak ones, so they're probably my two weakest spots. You've got a pretty loaded bench, mate.
Yeah, so I've sort of gone all the spine positions, funnily enough. So Chi, Sam Walker, Burton and Turbo are my four. So I guess I'm a little bit skint at centre wing, but I don't mind that to start the season. I think sometimes things just fall a certain way and you can sort of get lucky there, or you'll just sort of make a trade to get someone in before they get a huge price bump. And then also second row forward, I think, is sort of a bit of a juggle for me, and front row forward minus Cotter. So it sort of swings and roundabouts, isn't it? I guess that's the beauty of the format. You sort of got to pick and choose where you want to spend the dollars and hope that it comes up trumps for you.
100%, mate. And, you know, if you do well this year, you might be able to finish as high up the ranks as me and then become as good a bloke as me.
Because
that's what it's all about. So, if you're listening, if you've come this far, just remember that I finished 63rd and James did not finish higher than that last year. So just keep that in mind.
So keep in mind as well, that makes Brian an automatically better bloke than me for the next 12 months.
Look, I don't make the rules, mate.
This is the rules of fantasy.
I love it. Well, look, congratulations if you've gotten this far once again. I think one of our most listened to podcasts ever was our hour and 40 minute likes and dislikes from a couple of weeks ago. So, look, anyone who's listening and is appreciating us waffle on about Supercoach and fantasy sports, we love doing it. We love talking about it, especially, you know, talking about it from an injury perspective as well. And you know, we love our Supercoach, we love our footy, and we're ready to go again for another big year for the Magic Sponge. James, you keen to get into it and see the Dolphins win the premiership?
Well, I'm not going to witness that. Let's just clear, because you're going to be making a big charge this year. So you're the Bronco, mate. I think that's going to be what happens this year.
Hey, Kevy on his new deal. Like, you know,
that's
now,
right.
Now
yeah,
that it's
Kevy's
settled,
just been up.
Yeah,
because there, like, there was a lot of people trying to headhunt him, I'd assume, for how well he's done to date. So I don't know why they need to give him another 2 years to extend on, but. Anyway, he must be hot property somewhere, Ryan. Don't know where, but he must be hot property to get another re-up by Benny Eichen there, hey.
I love it, mate. I love it. All right, everyone. That's a wrap for this week. If you like the pod, look, give us a review on Spotify, Apple, all that kind of stuff. Click some stars and let us know what you think. We really appreciate the feedback. If you want more info like this, once again, patreon.com/NRLphysio is your place to go. James, thanks for coming along on a Sunday night. And, oh, man, next time I talk to you, we will have 8 games of footy to talk about. How good.
Everything will be good in the world again, Brian.
Although
giddy up 2023.
I'll be on the back of a 60-point loss, like, fresh. But I don't think I'll care, because, like, footy will be back and all in the world will be good.
That's right.
Good to talk to you again this week, mate, and good on everyone for listening. And we will talk to you all next week. Up the mighty Redcliffe Dolphins.
Suspected broken left fibula.
Suffering syndesmosis.
After that stem cell injury that he's come back from.
That's about it, mate.